Welcome to episode 175 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. I've got a real treat for you today as we welcome wedding photographer Becca to the show and chat about sharing and collaboration in photography, as well as the latest digital technology and how it changes the game in some respects. So I hope you enjoy this. I'm sure you will. Let's just jump straight into it. Today, I'm delighted to welcome not only an accomplished wedding photographer, but also an early adopter of digital photography, online portfolios, websites, blogs, and also the well-known social networks such as Facebook and Twitter. Becca, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Martin. How's it going?
It's great, thanks. It's really nice to have you on, and I'm looking forward to having a chat.
Yeah, I'm absolutely excited to be here. I love this kind of stuff.
Great, that's good. So, with us both being in sort of two relatively or totally different worlds photographically, I'm sure you're in like the fast lane with the wedding photography and the social networking. I don't need to go into much detail about myself because most of my listeners know me. Right. But, generally sort of little slower paced. It's not a full-time pro. So I concentrate more on nature work and sort of fine art prints and things, but it's going to be great to have a chat because, obviously photography binds us. We're all like blood brothers at the end of the day. So,
For sure.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do really was, start off by just, talking about, there's often sort of competition in photography in the past and still today to some extent. There's been people who sort of guard their tricks of the trade and, their territory and that pretty fiercely. So, I know that you've embraced technology and used it in a much more sharing, collaborative way. So I wondered if we could just chat a little bit about your philosophy in photography and with regards to sort of sharing and all of that in the photography community.
Absolutely. Well, I started, literally right out of high school, I was taking pictures in my photo class, and then I did the school newspaper and the yearbook, and I worked at a photo lab. And a few years later, I wasn't very successful as like a fashion photographer. Of course, when you're an 18-year-old young man, all I wanted to do was shoot pretty girls and, shoot all the models here. I'm in Southern California, so there was a lot of that going on. And, I did that for a couple years, and it was like, it wasn't exactly my thing. And a few years later, I got into wedding photography. And it was one of those things that I was like, wow, it's just so nice to show up at someone's day. And they were dressed up and looking good and they were happy. But what I noticed is I went with a friend of mine to go meet with some local pros, and it seemed like they were all had this attitude, like right off the bat, they were just rude. And like, no one would look at my portfolio and give me any feedback, or no one would answer any of my questions. And mind you, I was like 22 or 23 years old and I was just starting out. And I was excited because I liked taking pictures and I liked photography and I wanted to build a business. And I just thought, gosh, these guys have been I'm no threat to them. I'm like way down the line. They're totally established. And it was just, it wasn't that they weren't helpful, but they were just flat out rude. And I just thought like, wow, gosh, if I ever made anything of myself, I wanted to be the kind of guy that was helping people up as opposed to pushing them down.
Yeah.
So, with a friend that went to this meeting, we just started, from scratch, and we just kind of helped each other out. And I'd have an idea about selling this or doing that, or I had a question on my camera, or, hey, what lens are you going to buy next? And it was just nice to have a photo buddy to talk shop with,
Yeah.
And over the years, we just kind of built our business. And then as we met new people, we were just like, yeah, let's see if we can help them out. And I, looking back now, I've been shooting for about 13 years weddings, exclusively weddings. I've been shooting for about 18 years, but the last 13 I've been doing weddings. And just looking at my career and how it's progressed, I owe a lot of my success to other photographers who helped me out, who referred me jobs, and stuff like that. So I just feel like we want to help people out.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's like I said, I've never really been in that environment. With me being in Japan, it's kind of different as well. I don't have access to many of the local photographers. Most people over here do things by themselves, and you know, my work is not really that kind of work either. But I, you know, online, as I started to get into, you know, sharing photos online, probably at the beginning of this this millennium, the maybe around 2000 to 2002 was mm-hmm. when I started to post the odd image online. And I noticed, you know, straight away that there were a lot of opinionated people, and some helpful, you know, even back then, some 8 years ago or so. Some people were very helpful, but some people were definitely, you know, not. And when right. I, you know, when I started my podcast a few years ago, I had a number of people call me saying, you know, you should not be, not call me, but email me and that, saying you should not be giving away your secrets this lightly. You know, you should be charging for this or something like that. And I just found that whole concept sort of wacky. You know, I mean, it's counterproductive. So, you know, what sort of, how do you feel about, you know, the actual, how much of your secrets or your sort of techniques and things do you give away, or, you know, things like that?
I honestly give it all away. Cause I mean, like, again, I can tell you what, you know, lens I shoot with, what settings I use, how I process my images. But you know what you can't take from me? Mm. You can't take my eye and my mind and my heart and my passion.
Exactly.
You know, and I realized a long time ago that I wasn't selling pictures. Mm. Whether you shoot weddings or portraits or landscapes or anything, it's like, you know, what I'm trying to sell? I'm trying to sell myself. I want my clients to have an experience with my company. And I've created a brand for myself, and I've kind of, again, become this, you know, halfway well-known person in the wedding world. Obviously, not a lot of your listeners probably know who I am, but if they know anything about wedding photography, they've probably heard my name or seen my logo, or, you know, maybe heard something about me, because I'm kind of a controversial guy. I'll just kind of say what I think and put it out there. But like I said, the bottom line is I like helping people, because I believe that it's not just a zero-sum game. I don't think that there's only so many pieces of pie. I think that, you know, the pie just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and it's kind of the rising tide raises all ships kind of philosophy that we have on our B school. And then just with my friends, like I said, if I'm booked on a date and I can't take a job, I'm going to do my very best to make sure one of my friends gets referred, and then vice versa. When they get booked, they refer me and they refer our other friends. And it's just kind of like a community of helping people out, that it's just like, I don't know if it's just a new way of thinking and the old established pros just don't buy into it, because that's not how we did things back in the day, you know? So
yeah,
we just feel like, gosh, helping each other out is just a better way to connect. And especially with this online stuff, with the social networking, and, you know, it's a virtual world that we connect. And, you know, you're in Japan, I'm in California right now, and we're having a conversation. And I mean, I talk with people all over the world, all over the country. And it's like, gosh, yeah, the locals, they're just, nobody seems like they want to share. And it's like, well, you can't change everybody's mind overnight, but, you know, eventually you will find people that like buy into this mindset where it's actually more profitable. It's in your best interest for your pocketbook to network with other photographers and help each other out.
Absolutely. I, you know, there's a few things. I've got a memory like a chicken, so I'm probably not going to be able to get back to all of those points, but I, you know, the few things that I totally agree about the fact that that people are buying your vision, you know, your eyes, your heart, as you say, that was often my retort. I think that, you know, people will come to you with these sort of, you know, protect your information, don't give this away and all of that. But at the end of the day, you know, I can tell people everything I know and they can't get to where I shoot, or they can, but when they do, they're still going to be, you know, shooting with their own eyes and their own heart. And so it's your sensitivity that makes your own photography special. And if you're confident in that, I think that you should just share everything else, because you learned it from someone else in the first place, or you modified what, you know, you put all of the pieces of the puzzle together. You may have modified and refined the techniques and things, but you're generally taking most of what you've got. Very few people invent something new. Obviously, there's going to be times when you feel as though you had, but you may have just, you know, figured something else out that someone else has already figured out. So, you know, basically, I totally agree. It's your vision that you're working with, and I think that, you know, I don't know if this is true. But my feeling on this is that the people that really protect their information so much are probably not confident in their own vision and things. They think that it's just the technique that sets them apart. And I think that's rarely the case.
I agree. I think that they're totally insecure, or they're afraid of something, or they feel like, yeah, someone's going to, you know, take my business or do something. And I just feel like, gosh, that's a sad way to live your life, I think. And I just think that, again, sharing and helping people out, I just think it's good karma. And like I said, I think it's good business, because I just can look back on my career. And as I grew from, you know, just starting out shooting the smaller weddings for lower budgets. And as I just grew and grew and grew, it seemed like it was because I had a group of friends that, like, they'd raise their prices, that I'd raise mine. And then we'd all kind of help each other out. And then again, as soon as I was booked on a date, it's really easy. Like, if a bride calls me, I can't be like, oh, hi, I'm so good. If I start bragging about myself like that, I sound kind of ridiculous. But if a bride calls and I'm like, let's say June 27th, I'm already booked, and I look at my friend's schedule and I say, oh, my friend Joe is available. You have to call him. He is the best. And I can talk him up and help him out. And it's like kind of like you know, your friends, you just kind of build a network of like, hey, here's my rep, you know, and they brag about you for you. And it, like I said, it's really just helped the bottom line. And it's like, I couldn't imagine trying to do this business, like being all secretive or not talking or sharing or anything. I'm just like, I think I'd just be stuck.
Yeah. So, you know, you've mentioned the referring, and obviously, you know, that's taking the sharing to another level, which obviously I've done a certain amount of, and I've been referred to, which is always great. But I wanted to sort of get into, you know, you've set up the B School, which you mentioned earlier as well. What's that all about?
Well, you know, what it is it's a social network, but not just like Facebook or MySpace or all the other ones that people know of, but it's a place where photographers can come to connect and meet other photographers. And we just kind of put some tools in place where, you know, we can track each other's schedules. And, you know, right now, Martin, on Facebook, I have like 3,800 friends or something like that. And it's a lot of my photographers that are like followers of mine, or they follow my blog, or they've heard of me. I would venture to say that I've not met over 3,000 of them, you know, but I'm flattered that they want to be my friend, and that's great and all. But we've kind of come up with a friending thing where it's like, well, yeah, we have our friends, but then, well, now we also have our referral network, because sometimes people are a little leery about just sharing like their information of their personal schedules and stuff like that. But we've just got a way where, you know, I can track, you know, I probably have 20 or so photographers in my area that I've connected with that I'm like, I know when they're booked and when they're not booked, and they know when I'm booked and not. So it's like, as the phone calls come in, we just made a social network where you can type in a date, and the avatar of your friend will pop up if they're open on that day. And I could say, ooh, this time I want to refer to Jessica, because last time I sent Joe the referral, and Jessica just sent me a referral last week. So we just kind of made some cool tools to connect online. And then again, just like any other, you know, sharing online, you know, people are always posting photos and getting feedback and like, hey, how could I make this image better? And people, they do. They critique it and they say, oh, well, you know, it's a little overexposed, or yeah, there's a lot of – the composition is a little weak. Maybe get in closer or try this lens. You know, it's just a way for other people to look at your images and give you tips and advice and processing. And then, you know, some people like, well, hey, here's how I shot this image. I process it with this, you know, action, and I did this thing in Photoshop. And again, it's a two-way street. It's this conversation. It's to learn, to be inspired, and then also to inspire. So – we just kind of made a cool place where, you know, we just started out. We got about 1,500 members, and we're just excited for the vibe, because the people that are in the B School, for the most part, I think that they buy into this idea of helping each other out.
Yeah, that's really cool. So within, you know, I've had a look at the site, but, you know, obviously not been inside. So basically, you know, you've got a referral system in there. You've got a way of seeing when people are free. All built into the system. Mm-hmm. And then you've got some way of uploading images so that you can critique each other's work and share sort of techniques and, you know, settings and stuff. So what's the sort of audience? Because, you know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, you weren't sure if many of my listeners would know of you because of the, you know, you're a wedding photographer more than anything else. But, you know, there are a number of people that listen to my podcast that are wedding photographers, either full-time or part-time. And so I'm sure that there are people that have listened to you and probably will be interested in checking this out. So, you know, I'm just sort of trying to get an idea of what's in there. And also, is it generally wedding photographers? I know that it said you have a notice there that one of the prerequisites for joining or the requirements for joining is that you're either a pro or an aspiring, you know, aspiring to be. So
yeah, the prerequisite, the goal was you had to be trying to make money with your camera. Because the B school, as I always tell people, it doesn't stand for Becker. It's not about me and my name. It really stands for the business of photography. Mm-hmm. And I think photography itself is very subjective, and everybody has their own opinions on what is a good photo and what is a bad photo and who's a good photographer and who's not. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, I think that stuff is so subjective. I would never be so arrogant to say like, oh, I'm such a good photographer. But I will tell you like, hey, I have a very successful business and I know how to make money with my camera, and I'm happy to help other people do the same. So I don't know that we have too many stats as far as how many – it's mostly, I would say, mostly portrait and wedding photographers. I would say there's a slight emphasis towards weddings only because that's what I am and I did start this thing. Mm-hmm. But I think anybody who is interested in like trying to make money with their camera, having ideas about just personal branding and – you know, developing an experience for your clients and how do you deal with contract issues and how do you deal with – you know, there's all kinds of stuff. We do have a discussion forum in there. We also have like done and like made a little video library that we're constantly updating and adding to. And like, hey, today, you know, like I did a video last week because over here in the U.S., the economy seems to be slowing down and everybody's talking about tough times ahead. And we were talking about like how are you handling when people are asking for discounts and stuff. And so there's like a discussion about that kind of thing and like real life stuff where we can help people out. And like I said, videos, there's forums, there's just ways to connect with others. And what I'm trying to teach more than anything on the B School is, you know, I have my cool little network of friends here in my little town and people that I've been doing business with a long time. We're always meeting new people, but I hear, you know, it might be different in Japan, but I hear it's different even in different parts of the U.S. in the, you know, in the middle of the country, in, you know, other cities where people aren't as open to this idea. It's a matter of finding your four or five people that you can connect with. You don't have to convert the whole world. It's just finding a few networks. So there's ways to like look up people by where they live and, you know, are they in your town or are they in your state or, you know, we actually have three members from Russia now. So it's like, it's exciting that this whole thing is starting to take a worldwide flavor and, you know, just kind of expanding this idea. And that's why I also have been telling people that the B School, it's much more than a website or a social network, but it's an idea. It's an idea of just sharing and helping people build their businesses.
That's pretty cool. So you mentioned portrait work as well. So I think that, you know, there probably will be a lot of people that are listening to this that will be interested. So, I'm going to put a URL, an address into the show notes so that people can find you more easily. But can you just tell us where the B School is?
Yeah, it's literally thebschool.com. Okay. And again, it's a you know, paid membership site, but we also have thebschoolblog.com, which is 100% free. There's about 150 videos that just are just advice. And it's just me and a couple of my friends chipped in and did a few of them, but it's like, again, we wanted to give the information away and just go, hey, here's pretty much everything you know to have a nice, successful business. And it's completely free on the blog. And then the inside thing, it's just, you know, there is a small monthly subscription, but that's just to be a part of the community and connect and take advantage of the thing like the booking calendar and again, just the camaraderie and again, finding people in your area and stuff. So we have got two things. We've got a little something for everybody. If you don't want to pay for it, that's fine. I'm happy to share the information on the blog for free. And then, of course, I have beckersblog.com, which is my personal blog, which, you know, I post all my images that I shoot. I post, you know, I'm a wannabe semi-professional poker player. I'm kidding myself with that. But anyway, it's a fun little hobby, and I like doing it. But I just kind of put my life out there for people to see and check out. And I don't know. I feel like the brides seem to, you know, relate to me, and they feel like they know me. And like I said, it's all about building that personal brand. So that's where you can find me online.
Okay, that's great. So, you know, social networking. This year I've just started to get into Flickr. I've spent a lot of time over the last 3 to 4 years, really, in my own community, which is sort of built up with a great bunch of guys that have you know, built up around the podcast. But I'm trying really hard to make the time to get out of that and actually get into Flickr, and I've started Twitter and things like that. How do you use Flickr and Twitter and the other social networking sites?
Well, you know, I'm actually not a member of Flickr, only, and I don't know why. I felt like I had a delivery system for my photos. I could put them on my blog and whatnot. But yeah. I think it's a great community, and we have a lot of our members use it, and there's some neat stuff. And for the longest time, since I knew we were building our own social network, I purposely did not join like Facebook. I was never on MySpace. I thought that was just for like 13-year-old kids. But Facebook, I like purposefully didn't join because I didn't want to be influenced by what they were doing while we were building ours, because I didn't want to, you know, be accused of copying anything or whatnot. So we kind of just built our network. And then I thought, well, hey, maybe I should get on this Facebook thing, because it seems like a lot of people are connecting and whatnot. And then I'll tell you, my favorite thing is this Twitter. I think it's so incredible to be able to connect with people so fast. You know, I think I've got, I don't know, a couple thousand followers, and I follow a few hundred of my friends. And it's just so nice to know what's going on in everybody's world. And then there's just so many times where, like I said, this is a virtual world. It's an online thing, but it does turn into real world connections. You know, yeah. A couple of my buddies were like, hey, we're going to the movies on just this past Monday night, you know? And I was like, hey, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to go see my friends at the movies. So we went and saw that Defiance movie. I thought it was pretty good. And, but then again, just spent a good 20, 30 minutes after the movie chatting with some friends, and all because the Twitter announcement, like, hey, we're going to the movies. And I was like, great, you know? Mm. And I think that's just a kind of a fun way to, again, connect with friends on a social level. Mm. And every time I do a new blog post, I put it up on Twitter. So boom, 2,300 people now know that I have a new blog post if they didn't RSS it, because we all know that not everybody uses that RSS, even though we'd like them to. Mm. But, you know, it's just a good way to connect with that. Facebook's an incredible tool because, you know, as my brides or your clients or whatever you shoot, you know, you can tag their name right there in the photo, so that all their friends see the new photo of them. And again, it just, of course, it has my little B logo. It has the URL to my website. And, you know, it's just a way to, again, kind of drive traffic back and forth and, again, get people connecting in this world. And I know it's funny because it's like everybody talks about, like, the world going virtual and online, and you spend all this time online. But I really think it leads to more, like, real-world interactions. So, I don't know. I'm having a great time with it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, like I say, I'm only really just getting into this stuff. I am on Twitter myself. But, you know, it's, for me, it's really, you know, finding the time to do that sort of thing has always been tough. But if you keep sort of dabbling in a few here and there, I think part of the key, you mentioned that, you know, not all people are on RSS, and, you know, obviously that's so true. What I'm thinking is that you've probably got to try and get yourself into the routine of doing a number of different things. I don't think any one thing is going to help these days, right? It's right. Like you've got to have the RSS because some people want that. You've got to have Twitter because some people want that. And I think, you know, just sort of the biggest challenge for me is really trying to get out, you know, with a lot of various different types of media. And I'm getting there, but it's, you know, I think that it's, especially with talking to you here as well, I'm realizing that even more, it's even more so. You know, you've just got to really try to do as much as you can in various places to get yourself out there and to communicate.
You do have to make an effort, but I think once you start, I think Twitter becomes a habit. My friends and I we're addicted. You know,
it's I know what you mean.
There'll be four of us sitting in a restaurant waiting for our food, not talking because we're Twittering that we're hanging out with the other four people, and it's just, you know, I know somebody quipped that it was called social not working. Because, you know, I did a video actually about it, a little video podcast where, you know, I think about a third of Twitter is actually useful information or you know, and then about a third of it is, you know, at least it's entertaining. And then about a third of it is a complete waste of time. You know, it's kind of like, okay, well, I didn't need to know that, or I don't really care that someone went grocery shopping or, you know, things like that. But I just think it's interesting. And again, Twitter is only 140 characters. It takes about, you know, 15 or 20 seconds to type that out, hit send. And then a lot of the things, like, you can embed on their little API, their little widget you can put on your blog. So once you Twitter it, it shows up on your blog. So you don't have to go to these other sites. Like, I put my Twitter posts up. It shows up on Facebook. Pretty soon we're working it out so it'll actually show up on the B-School, on your profile on the B-School. So we're looking forward to, you know, partnering with that, with their API and stuff. But like you said, it does take a little effort. Yeah. And I just feel like, again, in this world, it's better to be on that like cutting edge of photography and being a trendsetter and being a leader, and instead of just a follower and someone who joins it, you know, after the wave has passed or something. So
I totally agree. So you used the word follow there. How do people follow you on Twitter? What's your name? How do we find you up there?
Twitter.com/TheBecker.
Okay.
My whole thing is about like the Becker. Like when I started my business, I wanted to make a name for myself, and I wanted to be different, and I wanted to be out there, and I wanted to have one name like Bono or Sting or Madonna. But of course, Becker.com was taken. Don't go there. Anyway, and I was a huge U2 fan, so it was all about The Edge and The Becker. So my main website is actually TheBecker.com, and pretty much you can find me, you know, at The Becker on Twitter, and then on Facebook. My first name is actually Christopher Becker. I don't really tell my clients that, because like I said, I want to have a little mystique about me building this brand. But I like to joke around that I'm not as pretentious as I pretend to be, so we're having a good time.
Okay, that's pretty cool. What I wanted to do is move on. You know, things change. We're talking about cutting edge, and you know, the technology, the digital technology has really sort of, it's changing all of the time. And one thing recently, I mean, I picked up a Canon 5D Mark II last week, and one of the reasons, in addition to the low grain with the high ISOs, I'm really interested in getting into shooting high definition video stills, if you like, you know, 15-second clips of moving things. But for you, with the wedding photography and that, how's that going to change the wedding, you know, the skills necessary by a wedding photographer and that sort of thing?
You know, Martin, I don't know. Mm. But you know what? I picked up that camera, you know, as soon as I could get my hands on it. I got one in December. Mm. And because, again, I wanted to know. You know, I had the original 5D, and then we actually stepped up and bought the big 1DS Mark III, and I actually absolutely love that camera. But I wanted to have that camera, if nothing else, just so I was aware of what's going on and the possibilities. And it is beautiful at the high ISOs. The files are gorgeous. Mm. And the video, it's been fun to play with. Mm. When I first heard about that camera a few months ago, I thought, gosh, wonder if I shot my wedding photos as normal. And then wonder if I just took, like you said, 10, 12, 15-second clips, maybe 10 of them throughout the day, and blended that in with my still photographs and made a nice little slideshow that they can watch on a Blu-ray player on their HDTV. Like, how much more impact would that add to my photography? Right. And so I'm like, I want to learn. I want to play around with that, you know, and I'm definitely open to those ideas. Mm. I found right away that, gosh, you know, we have a really easy workflow when it comes to processing still images, because that video is a pain in the butt. The amount of gigabytes that it takes and the time that it takes to render all this stuff. But I've been going to my local Apple store and taking Final Cut Express lessons. I have their one-to-one program. It's $100 for the year, and I get a weekly lesson on Final Cut, and I'm getting the hang of it. And it's exciting to see where it's going. And you know, again, it all comes down to what does the client want. You know, if my clients start coming in, hey, do you have those you know, slideshows with the photos and the videos? And it's kind of like, well, yes, we can do that. And I'm still trying to figure out how to charge for it. Mm. But you know what? I don't have to figure it out by myself, because I got a great network of people that are playing with it. They're experimenting. And you know, like I said, we're sharing ideas and seeing where this is taking us.
I see. Yeah, that's all very helpful. I have the 1DS Mark III as well, and you know, as a camera, that's still sort of my main body. Obviously, and the price difference is going to keep it that way, I think, until the Mark IV comes out or something. But I really enjoy the feel of that camera. It just feels right. The big sort of sturdy thing. You know, you could hammer nails in with the guy.
But and the focus is so much better. I love it.
But, you know, so for me, I mean, it was a long, hard battle to keep my grubby little mitts off the 5D Mark II. And I lost that battle the other week, you know, so that was the thing. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it. There's actually a Japanese photographer, from Hokkaido, where I do workshops and stuff. But He's a guy called Shinzo Maeda, and I bought a DVD of his a few years ago. And I mean, he's passed away now, unfortunately. Yeah, but he was one of the first sort of pioneers of high definition video. And he used to take these, you know, he was always a medium format photographer, but when he started to get into video, he would take these huge, like, high definition cameras into the mountains, and he just created lots and lots of these. You know, I don't know if it's like a coined phrase, but like video stills. You know, so you'd be looking at a picture of a rolling mountain, and then you'd realize that the grass is just moving slightly, or there's butterflies flying around.
That's awesome. It's like that Planet Earth, that BBC series. I love that.
Right. So, you know, I mean, when I saw that, I'm thinking that would be so cool, but the video technology at the time was basically crap. You know, if I was going to do this, I wanted it to be good quality. Right. So the high definition stuff there was really, really exciting. And then when I heard that it was going to be stuck onto the 5D, it was like, okay, wow, that's it. You know, you're there, you're set up, you've got your, you know, you've got the scene composed. So all you need to do is, before you move on or at some point, just shoot those 15 seconds of video and then just put it into your library, and you'll find there'll be a place for it. And I'm thinking that, just as you said, you know, for me, I'm imagining that the same sort of thing will happen with nature or wildlife photography. You'll be creating slideshows, because I think that they are quite compelling. But then every so often you'll put something in there and it'll be moving. It'll be just like a little break in the middle of the stills, and then it'll, you know, I think it's just going to be so much better. So, you know, I'm looking forward to getting into that.
Yeah, I just think, again, like the whole Ken Burns effect with the panning of the photos, but then you start bringing in this other dimension of actual, a little bit of video and stuff. I think it's incredible. And I'm telling you, my favorite way to view a photograph now is on a plasma television or an LCD screen, because, I mean, prints are nice and all, but man, when they're backlit and they're on a big screen, and especially if you do a slideshow set to some nice music with the surround sound going, I mean, I don't care what kind of photography you produce, wedding photography, landscape, portrait, you know, fashion, it's like, you know, it's beautiful when you get that music in there, and it's more of an experience. And I don't know, I just think the photos look gorgeous that way.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I appreciate both formats. I do love to hold a big print on good quality paper.
Yeah.
But I agree, you know, there's just so much more dynamic when, if you've got it up on the screen, and like you say, with the Ken Burns stuff. And I mean, I've had some really, really emotional responses to like a 40 image, you know, slideshow of my nature portfolio. So, you know, basically I have a portfolio I call The Nature of Japan. And that is it's online. People can see it on my website if they click on the portfolios thing. You have to install a plugin because I use the Photodex technology. But, you know, I apply sort of a similar sort of thing to the Ken Burns effect, and then nice music, as you say, and it's just got so much more impact. And if you look at that on a big screen, it's just bang, it's in your face, and it's beautiful. So
yeah,
totally agree. Okay. So, let's see. I think, you know, in general, the technology is going forward. What do you think is, you know, do you think there's anything big coming up next? You know, we've just seen the video coming to the digital SLR. What do you think the next big thing is? Is there anything that you imagine is going to be stuck in those cameras soon? Like GPS is starting to come into the camera body as well. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think even with Apple, with their latest version of iPhoto, and it starts geotagging the photos. And so when you look at the photos, you can look at them on a map. And they had a nice display on their website about a little trip to Paris. And like, here's the Eiffel Tower and the Louvre. And just, it was just neat to see where the photos were taken. But I don't know. I don't know how much more they can do. But like, I've known the owner of the Red camera, you know, Jim Gennard, who used to own Oakley sunglasses. And so I've known about that Red camera for a long time. But again, just going back to that, I think there's also just something about shooting these HD videos with these beautiful Canon lenses and this fast glass and my 51.2 lens. It's just like the video just looks so nice, and it's interesting. So again, I don't know what else there can really do as far as the medium. I think hopefully make the file size smaller, make it a little more easy to get going, make it portable, make automated editing things. And like I said, it comes down to workflow and things like that. But like I said, we always go out to the PMA conventions, and we're going to WPPI actually next week, the wedding and portrait photographer, just to, again, see what people are doing with their images and see how people are using Lightroom and Aperture and the latest version of Photoshop and how they're manipulating images. So I don't know. I just, like I said, I'm interested and I'm always looking to be inspired by other photographers. I mean, I have probably 500 blogs in my RSS reader, and I just like seeing interesting things that apply to my world. And it's just kind of, it's my entertainment and just a great way to be inspired and be connected.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, you know, we were talking earlier about the sort of sharing of information and that, and thinking about, I guess I'm coming back to the GPS thing, you know, showing people where you shot the photos and things. And that's actually going to help others as well as be cool to sort of look at. And so, you know, all in all, I think, you know, the general sort of theme for today has been this camaraderie and sharing. And, you know, I think you've put together a great site that helps people to do that. As well as all of the other ways that you're into this stuff. So it's been pretty cool to talk to you. And, you know, I feel like I should be getting in Facebook a little bit more than I am and link those guys together and stuff. But hopefully it's been of use to my listeners as well. I'm sure it has. I'm sure they've enjoyed listening to us have a chat here. So I guess we can start to think of wrapping it up. Is there any one thing or, you know, a couple of sort of little gems that you can chuck out that, you know, say for anyone that wants to either make it in photography or just get better? Have you got any little sort of gems that you can give us before we wrap up?
Well, I think just like anything else in life, the more you do something, the better you get at it. Mm. And so I'd say keep at it, practice, keep looking at things to be inspired. But then again, I think that again, photography, the business of photography is really so little about the photography. So I think, I mean, there's a lot of people that I know that take very pretty pictures and very incredible images, but they're struggling to make a living at it. And that's fine if that wants just to be their hobby. I like photography because it is my business and it's my hobby. Like, I go on vacation, I bring the big camera. I like taking the pretty pictures of all over the world. Some of the photos I took in Kenya just on a trip were some of my favorite photographs that I've ever taken. Mm. And I try to go on like little photo field trips, or I think it's like, you got to be passionate about what you're doing. Mm. And I think when you're not, if you ever look at it that it's just like a job or something that like, oh, gotta go do this. Mm. Like, I think that's when it's time to hang it up. So I think if you can find something that you love doing, like I love taking pictures. I just feel like that's a really key to being successful in business and being like fulfilled in life. So that's all I got to say.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Right on.
Okay. Well, so that's been great. So thanks very much, Becker. I've really enjoyed having a chat with you.
Great. Well, thank you. And again, if you have any questions, if any of your listeners have questions, feel free to send me an email and stuff. And like, yeah, I said, I just like, again, helping people out where I can or point them in directions if they need a little advice or a little feedback. So again, I you know, anytime you want to chat, you know, like I said, you know how to get a hold of me or shoot me an email, and you take it easy. All right, Martin?
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
PhotoCastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotoCastNetwork.com.